Earlier this month, in a Worland courthouse, a judge signed a final decree that brought to end what's probably the longest-running lawsuit in Wyoming history. After 37 years, the lawsuit finally decided who exactly owns the water rights in and around the Wind River Indian Reservation. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports that those involved in the suit are now looking to the future.
Northern Arapaho tribal liaison Gary Collins loads people onto a giant bus. He's taking them on a tour of the reservation's irrigation project that crisscrosses the Wind River Valley.
Off to the right is one sprinkler system of three that the Arapaho farm...
It's only early September, but true to form, it starts to blizzard. Through the falling snow, hay fields make a patchwork of green farmland.
These folks just got their hay cutting off the ground. I've got some hay down behind me, about a half a mile that's being snowed on right now. So what am I going to do?
And you can't bale wet hay, just one of the many challenges of ranching in Wyoming. But you also can't grow hay without a lot of water. That was the thinking way back in the 1860s when the U.S. government built ditches to irrigate the newly established Wind River Indian Reservation. The idea was to turn the reservation's two nomadic tribes into farmers. Most of the irrigation project was built in the 1920s, but the federal government never properly funded the project's construction. In fact, it's still only 80% complete. And so when droughts came along in the 70s, trouble brewed. Manager Nancy McCann has been working on what's called the Bighorn Stream Adjudication lawsuit since it started.
In 1977, the tribes actually did write a letter to the city of Riverton saying, you have started to drill these wells. That's actually on reservation. You have to come to us.
Meaning that the tribes had to give permission to citizens of Riverton to drill new water wells on the reservation. At that time, the state engineer was George Christopoulos.
What he said is, no, you have to come to us. We're the state engineer. We administer the water rights. And before we knew it, we had the general adjudication statute, and then the case was filed.
Remember, this was 37 years ago. No computers, no GPS. Half the reason the lawsuit took so long was because it was a logistical nightmare. State engineer Pat Terrell.
Initially, when the suit kicked off, the state sent out 20,000 registered letters because every water right holder in the basin needed to be aware of what was going on. So keeping track of the mail at the beginning was a massive job.
It took two state Supreme Court cases just to figure out whether non-tribal heirs living on tribal lands should receive water rights. Along the way, there have been other problems, too. Poor communication between the tribes and state water officials. And former Eastern Shoshone tribal liaison Sarah Robinson says government agencies are dragging their feet to rehabilitate the incomplete irrigation system. She says it's losing almost half its flow. Non-tribal rancher Fred Tammany owns land inside the reservation boundary. He says some people aren't getting what they deserve.
We've had people down at the end. Sarah Robinson was one of them, and paid for water, never got it. I mean, that hurts. That hurts. When you got a $2,000 or $3,000 water bill, and now you got to go out and buy $5,000 or $8,000 worth of hay to feed your cows that you could have been growing yourself.
So Tammany started an organization bringing together tribal and non-tribal water users on the reservation. This month, they'll install three water delivery measurement systems on the ditches. And they've got commitments from the tribes and Bureau of Indian Affairs to match $500,000 toward work on the system. But Sarah Robinson estimates it will take $100 million to finish the irrigation system. Where that much money will come from, she's not sure.
But the system.
Everybody climbs off the bus and walks down a gravel road to the canal where a metal structure has been installed. A wide conveyor belt turns slowly. Gary Collins says it's a fish ladder to keep spawning fish from swimming into the ditches. The tribes have installed seven of them in the last 5 years. Each cost $500,000. Collins says it was worth it because it's not just the economics of water that matter.
We know that water is life. And we use water in our thinking every day, our sweat lodges, our sun dance.
Even with the decree signed, many wonder if it'll be another 37 years of hard work and disagreement before the irrigation system is complete. But Collins says a more efficient irrigation system means more water can flow back into the Big and Little Wind rivers. And that means a healthier river for recreation and fisheries on the Wind River Indian Reservation. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.
Coming up next, we'll talk to our Inside Energy reporters who've been covering worker safety in the oil and gas industry and hear about Wyoming's debates on the death penalty. This is Open Spaces.